glory and honor and praise. Blessed be his name forevermore. For he's truly transformed us. As Brother John said today, through increments, time after time, we're to glorify the name of the Lord our God by allowing him to transform us into the image and likeness of his Son. And the only hindrance of that is our own free will. Hasatan cannot stop it. No one on this earth can stop it. But it's according to our free will that we allow the Spirit of living God to change us. And as Brother John shared today, it is a lifetime. What a blessing God's love and mercy and grace is to us. And how many times have we saw it and belittled it? Sometimes we feel like we've arrived. We get full of ourselves. It's beautiful that we're able to die so that we may arise new in Messiah. That the Spirit of living God comes alongside of us, gently encouraging us along the way and allowing circumstances at times for him to gain our full attention. Praise be to God. So, Father, may now the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And may these words go forth and proclaim and build your kingdom. These are your words, Almighty God, not my own from the Scripture. We just give you glory and honor and praise. In Yeshua's name, amen. Continuing in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Today we're going to go through the whole chapter here, beginning in verse 1 to verse 47. As it was lived out, and as the Spirit of living God came upon his 120 people, what a transformation that they'd been going through in this process. Just 50 plus days earlier, one of the leaders of this small messianic group denied the Messiah three times. And the transformation in his life took more than those 50 days for him to rise and to be able to stand in the streets of Jerusalem where he denied Messiah three times. Here now he arose to proclaim him for who he is. So let us begin in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The feast of Shavuot had arrived, and the believers were all gathered together in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from the sky like a roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separated and came to rest on each of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and began to talk in different languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Now they were staying there in Jerusalem, religious Jews from every nation under heaven. Isn't that beautiful? God had drawn them back to celebrate the inauguration of the first covenant. God's timing is perfect. Now he's established this Brit Hadashah, this new covenant. And he's chosen the date of the first covenant so that all these individuals be there, and they're from all the known areas of the world that they knew that Jewish people lived. And so they don't want them to receive this second hand. Did you hear what happened in Jerusalem? But these people are hearing firsthand. Just as in Mount Sinai, the nation of Israel was assembled together, and they heard the shofar blasts from Mount Sinai. They saw the lightning. They saw the shaking of the earth. They saw the fire and the smoke. And so this is now taking place now yet a second time. the birthing of the Brit Hadashah, that everyone is called to take part as an individual, that this covenant was given through Moshe in the first covenant, but now God had rose up another one, that Moses said, look in the future, God will send you sometime in the future a prophet like myself, and you are to follow and to obey every word that he says to you. So now that baton is being passed from the Tanakh, the old covenant, to the Brit Hadashah. And this new prophet is Yeshua himself. And this covenant is what? It's inaugurated through his blood. Let us continue now in verse 6. So when they heard this sound, a crowd gathered, and they were confused because each one heard the believers speaking in his own language. Totally amazed, they asked, how is this possible? Aren't these people who are speaking from Galil or Galilee? How is it that we hear them speaking in our native languages? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Yehuda, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Jews by birth and proselytes, Jews from Crete, and Jews from Arabia. How is it that we hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things that God has done? Hear that message. These 120 were not self-promoting themselves, saying, buy my book, buy my tape, I've got a plan from God that you need to hear, but they were proclaiming about what God has done. We sang that song just a few moments ago. I saw the Lord in his temple. And it's Isaiah, the coal came, the angel took it and placed it upon his lips. They were cleansed. He said, I am a man of unclean lips, Isaiah declared. But God chose him in such a state as he was, in that he recognized that as he spoke forward the word of God, it was not to glorify himself, but to build the kingdom of God and draw people into God's kingdom. This was orchestrated by God because only God could receive the glory. And each one of these Jewish people from all these nations fully acknowledged because they were confused. But what they heard, they fully understand. In their languages that was spoken to them was the exaltation of God and what God has done. So it was undeniable to them. So now let's move forward in verse 13. Verse 12, excuse me. Amazed and confused, they all went on asking each other, what can this mean? But others made fun of them and said, they just had too much wine. Now in verse 14, then Cephas stood up. Remember prior to this, he denied Messiah three times, but he was restored. So then Cephas stood up with the 11, and he raised his voice to address them. You Judeans, and all of you staying here in Jerusalem, let me tell you what this means. Listen carefully to me. These are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken about through the prophet Joel or Joel. Notice he does not quote the Brit Hadashah because it's being lived out. It has not been written yet. So he has to go and align the Brit Hadashah, which is being birthed in their eyes, with the Tanakh, the first covenant. Because the Brit Hadashah does not stand on its own weight or measure. It stands on the foundation of the Tanakh, the first covenant. So let's go forward here. Adonai says in the last days, notice this. He doesn't say Yeshua says. He doesn't quote any of the prophets. He doesn't quote Joel. But he says this, Adonai says. Abba, Father, God says this. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon everyone. Your sons and your daughters, they will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my slaves. Have you ever stopped and looked at that word? Even on whose slaves? God's slaves. You mean God has slaves? He does. They are his servants. Both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So everything that they were seeing, everything that was going on that brought them confusion was already written and prophesied, foretold by God through the prophet Joel. Going on to verse 19. I will perform miracles in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and thick smoke. Doesn't that sound like something out of Revelation? But this is the prophet Joel. This was written hundreds of years before Yeshua was even born on this earth. God has had a plan. Before the foundations of the universe were even spoken into life being, God had a plan of redemption for his people and for all the people who have been grafted in from all the nations. Verse 20, then the sun will become dark and the moon blood before the great and fearful day of Adonai comes. And then whoever calls upon the name of Adonai will be saved. Where's that found? In Joel chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. So there's hope. Even though our world is being shaken up, turned inside out, we're being turned upside down, there is hope because God still sits on the throne, and this is all the orchestration of his plan. So moving forward, verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Yeshua from Nazareth, or Nazareth, was a man who demonstrated to you to have been from God by powerful works and miracles, signs that God performed through him in your presence, and you know this. So there were people there in that assembly of Judeans that saw Yeshua do these miraculous acts for these 3 to 3.5 years. It was undeniable. So going forward here, this man was arrested in accordance to God's predetermined plan. This is new revelation to them. Because they truly believed, well, it was just the high priests and the Sanhedrin that did all these things. They were the authority and power, and that they simply turned Yeshua over to the Romans for him to be put to death. But this was God's predetermined plan. Nothing happened without the Father's okay. So moving forward. And foreknowledge, God's predetermined plan and foreknowledge. And though the agency of persons not bound by Torah, you nailed him upon the stake and killed him. What does it mean by persons not bound by Torah? The Romans were not bound by Torah. So they had to work with their enemies to bring Yeshua's death. So moving forward, you nailed him on a stake and you killed him. Both parties partook in this. Moving forward, but God raised him up and freed him from suffering of death. It was impossible that God could keep its hold on him. This is all brand new revelation to them. They never considered this, but they are witnesses because they've been in Jerusalem from the beginning of Passover. After Passover was completed, they were there for first fruits, and they're witness that this Yeshua, yes, he did raise from the dead. And the high priest and the Sanhedrin, they were up in arms, and so was Pontius Pilate, And the Roman soldiers, everyone was up in arms because this had never happened before. So going forward, verse 25. For David says this about him. This kind of piques their interest, all right? I saw Adonai before me, for he's at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. For this reason my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. And now my body too will live on in certain hope, that you will not be abandoned me to Sheol, or let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you fill me with joy by your presence, the presence of Adonai. Now, when did King David write that? During the time while he was here on earth, Tehillim, which is Psalms 16, 8 through 11. Going forward, in verse 29. Brothers, I know I can say this to you frankly, that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here with us to this very day. Therefore, since he was a prophet, and he knew God, and had sworn an oath to him that one of his descendants would sit upon his throne. And so this is all, they're receiving all this. And what's going through their minds? But Rome is still in control. Pontius Pilate is still has his pressure upon the nation of Israel. So continuing here. Verse 31 of Acts 2. He was speaking in advance about the resurrection of the Messiah, that it was he who was not abandoned in Sheol, and whose flesh did not see decay. God raised up this Yeshua, and we are all witnesses to it. They were witnesses to it, that Yeshua has raised from the dead. And so from the ending of Pesach, Passover, of the death and the resurrection at first fruits, the barley harvest, and now going forward now 50 days later, the wheat harvest of first fruits, the giving of the Torah to Moshe on Mount Sinai, all this had been accomplished. And it's undeniable before them. Continuing here, verse 32. Moreover, he has been exalted to the right hand of God. Who's the he here? But Yeshua. And he has received from the Father what he had promised, namely the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the living God, has been poured out, this gift which you are both seeing and hearing. So why are these Galileans speaking in languages of the native people of Israel who are now living in foreign lands? Because they're expounding upon the glory and the power of God and what he has done through Yeshua. And I believe this, if the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, had decided to have us record what each and every of those 120 people had spoken in this new language that was given to them, can you imagine how long the second chapter of the book of Acts would be? He gave us grace not to give us all those details. But there was unconvincing signs and wonders that were produced by these powerful words. A reminder, all what Yeshua had did by the power and the anointing of the Father. So moving forward here. Verse 33. For David did not ascend into heaven. And how did they know that? Because David is still, his bones is sleeping in his tomb in Jerusalem. And it's still there. So going forward here. But he says, Adonai said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. What's that the quotation from? But Tehillim, Psalm 110:1. And with that, who is the Adonai that's speaking to Adonai? My Lord is speaking to my Lord. The Father is speaking to the Son. And the Father says, you sit there at my right hand until I arise, God the Father arise, and puts your enemies and make them as your footstool. Going forward here. Verse 36, therefore, let the whole house of Israel. You know what they're speaking to right now, Kepha, Peter is? The whole house of Israel. That includes the 10 northern lost tribes of Israel. All of Israel. Okay? Know that beyond doubt that God has made him, who's the him but Yeshua, both Lord and Messiah. This Yeshua whom you executed on a stake. On hearing this, they were stung in their hearts. Who brought the stinging? Was it Kepha's charismatic words? No, it was the Spirit of living God that had been poured out on the 120 that was there and now was ministering and bringing about conviction upon these Jewish men's hearts there that were in the streets. Continuing here. On hearing this, they were stung in their hearts. And they said to Kepha and to the other emissaries, brothers, what should we do? They're not arguing. They're not saying, oh, we should bring this before the high priest and the Sanhedrin to get their view on this. Because they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that what had transpired, that they had a part in that. Going forward. Verse 38, Kepha answered them, and he said this, turn from sin and return to God. Each of you be immersed on the authority of Yeshua the Messiah into the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. See, God sees us right where we are. He knows the remedy of what is ailing us, which is death from our sins. And he wants us to bring to the point where we agree with him that we're able to forsake our own free will and acknowledge him for who he is by the power and revelation, the conviction of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of living God. And it says if they'll do this, if they will first turn from sin and return to God. Kepha was saying this to them. You have abandoned El Elyon. You have abandoned Adonai. It's now time for you to come back. And think about the symbolism here that's going on. Here there are at the feast of Shavuot, which is a feast of the wheat harvest, which is also the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And here's the exact date in the far future where they're now living, where Yeshua is establishing the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant that's inaugurated through his blood, a fulfillment of Jeremiah 31:31. But for them to make this covenant as individual people, Jewish people, they must first do what? Turn from their sin and to return to God. And then for them to be each immersed in the authority of Yeshua as the Messiah, and to the forgiveness for their sins. There's no other way, but it's through Yeshua and him alone. And if they go and they do this, what will accompany what the gift that the Father will give to them? But the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the living God. So now going forward on verse 39. For the promise is for you, and your children, and those far away, as many as Adonai, your God, may call. So who's calling them? Who's preparing them? Who's giving them revelation of the Spirit? But it is Adonai, Abba, Father, God. Verse 40. He pressed his case with many other arguments. And notice there. Acts would be even, chapter 2 would be even longer if it recorded all these arguments. And he kept pleading with them, save yourselves from this perverse generation. He's saying this to them. The high priest was wrong. The Sanhedrin was wrong. You were wrong. And so you need to save yourself from that crowd, from that perverse generation. Continuing here in verse 41. So that those who accepted what he said were immersed. What is immersed? Being baptized. That's a mikvah. For us as Jews to go, to be prepared to go even in the before the Mishkan or the temple to worship Adonai, we were first what to go through the purity of washing or go into the mikvah pool if they were available to be cleansed, to be purified. That was an outside sign of what God was doing eternally. So going on, so those who were accepted, he said, were immersed. And they were added to the group that day about 3,000. 3,000 individuals. So they went from at the beginning of Shavuot, as of 120, now up to 3,120 individuals. This was ordained of God. He brought them in. He convicted their hearts and souls. He poured out his spirit so that they would be convicted and brought the fruits of repentance. So going forward, in verse 42, they continued faithfully in the teaching of the emissaries. Notice that. Not the high priest or the Sanhedrin, but the emissaries. And in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Everyone was filled with awe, and many miracles and signs took place through the emissaries. All those trusting in Yeshua stayed together and had everything in common. In fact, they sold their property and possessions and distributed the proceeds to all who were in need. Continually and faithfully, with singleness and purpose, to meet in the temple courts daily. Notice that they did not run out and start their own thing, but they were to be a witness and a testimony in the temple courts. Going forward, and the breaking of bread in several of their homes, they shared their food in joy and simplicity of heart, praising God and having respect of all the people, of the high priests, of the Sanhedrin, of all the common people. And day after day, the Lord kept adding to them those who were being saved. So this was all accomplished by Adonai. It's not an individual, a charismatic personality. It is nothing but the Spirit of the living God. If we notice earlier that these people spent time in prayer prior to the outpouring of the Ruach, so they had become one mind and heart, and the men and women were gathered together. They were of one heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and they were simply waiting for the next move of the Spirit of the living God. Any congregation, any movements, if they truly want to impact their community wherever they live, they must first spend time in prayer, seeking the Father's face, and allowing the Father to cause them to grow in unity. They have one mind, one heart, one vision, so they may go forward and proclaim the good news. Then all the signs and wonders will accompany those who are about building the Father's house and building the kingdom. It's God by choosing and drawing people. It's not a personality. It's not a program. It's nothing of man or woman. It is the Spirit of the living God that has drawn all us into his presence. And the Spirit of the living God brought conviction upon our hearts and brought us to the portion of being through the fruits of repentance. We have been all immersed in Yeshua and his divine authority. And that what Yeshua declares for us to go out and to proclaim the good news to everyone, discipling them, teaching, training them, and causing them to be immersed in the authority and name of Yeshua. That gives glory and honor to God the Father. And then his kingdom is established. In Yeshua's name, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord.